Mars Incorporated, makers of America's most enjoyable candy bars, presents...
Gerstenstein!
The makers of Snickers welcome you to Curtain Time. The lobby is crowded again tonight with summer theatergoers. And here in white jacket and maroon tie is the well-known man about town, your host, Patrick Allen.
Good evening.
Well, Mr. Allen, what is tonight's warm weather theatrical fare?
It's a romantic comedy, John. The kind we all like. But there's the overture, so we'd better hurry inside the theater for tonight's production of Curtain Time.
Tickets, please. Thank you, sir. Row center, seat 7 and 8.
Thank you. Well, now that we're comfortable, let's look through the program. Harry Elders and Annette Sargent, supported by the Curtain Time players, are starred tonight in A Peach for the Professor. Mr. Elders is the professor, and Miss Sargent is the peach.
Curtain Time!
There's the call for the first act of A Peach for the Professor. The scene is a street corner in a large city. A man, slightly frustrated because of the number of taxicabs that have passed him by, makes one more valiant attempt.
Taxi! Hey, taxi!
Ah, good. He's got to stop because of the red light.
I got a fare, bud.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm just going north a few blocks. Well, you're headed north, and I thought...
Well, yes, I am.
There's lots of cabs, lady. You don't have to share them anymore.
Look, driver, maybe there are lots of cabs, but I don't see any of them floating around here.
Oh, well, I guess it's all right. I'd like to be let off first, though.
Okay.
Gee, thanks.
Well, hop in, bud. I got the light.
Okay. Golly, this is awfully nice of you.
You wanted Bedford Court, lady?
Please, 95 Bedford Court, the Institute of Child Psychology.
Okay.
Well, that's strange. You don't look like a child in need of psychology.
Really?
No, you seem to be rather neatly integrated.
You're very observant, aren't you?
That's me. I see all, know all.
Aren't you lucky?
Among other things, I see that I should have been a child psychologist instead of a teacher.
Oh? What do you teach?
I teach...
The driver, look out!
See that man?
Hey, where do you think you're going? Did you see what that monkey done?
Yeah, I saw that he had the right of way.
But you handled the car very well, driver.
I sure never would have missed him if I didn't.
Well, maybe you can get him on the way back. As I was saying, are you connected with the Institute of Child Psychology?
Why, yes, yes.
You read the monthly magazine the Institute puts out?
Of course.
Well, I got hold of a copy not long ago.
Yes.
There's an article in it that made me hopping mad. It was written by some old fuddy-duddy who should have been put out to pasture long ago.
Oh? Which article was it?
Oh, it was the one dealing with the trials and tribulations of being an only child.
Oh, yes, I remember.
And you remember all that nonsense about how terrible it is for parents to have only one child.
And you think that's nonsense?
Well, I was an only child myself.
Oh, I see.
Some Dr. Cordell Hampton wrote it.
What did you say you teach?
Teach? Oh, I teach education at the normal college. As they say, I teach teachers how to teach.
Well, then you must know Dr. Kurt Hugo.
Oh, driver, for the love of Pete.
Yeah, but he cut right in front of me.
Well, that was very close, driver, but you did exactly the right thing.
Thanks, lady. Gee, it's nice to be appreciated.
I asked whether you know Dr. Kurt Hugo.
Oh, sure, I know Kurt. Do you?
I do. I also happen to know that, in a way, Dr. Hugo was responsible for the article you take exception to.
He was?
Yes. He and Dr. Hampton worked together.
Driver, will you?
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry I landed all over you like that.
Well, I'm sure you couldn't help it.
Oh, that fool driver.
Well, this is it. 95 Bedford Court.
How much do I owe you, driver?
70 cents, lady.
Oh, I'll get that.
But I insist on paying my share.
Oh, but I insist...
Come on, bud. I got a living to make.
All right. Here's my share.
Thanks.
But are you getting out here?
Well, I thought... Here, I'll take your bag.
Well, I can carry it myself, thank you.
But it's my turn to insist.
Oh, very well.
See, I'd like to meet this old bird, Hampton.
Old bird?
Well...
Perhaps you can get Dr. Hugo to introduce you.
Well, that's right. But tell me... Is he one of those high and mighty guys who only comes out of his cocoon once in a while and sounds off?
Hardly.
Well, Say, I haven't even told you my name.
That's right, you haven't.
It's Farwell, Jean Farwell.
I see. Well, Professor Farwell, I'll take my suitcase now.
Oh, but I'll take it all the way in for you.
Oh, but I...
You see, I've written an article myself for the National Teacher in which I refute everything Dr. Hampton says, and...
Everything?
Sure. That article's the bundle.
Oh, here's our doorman. Jim, will you take my bag, please?
Oh, yes, ma'am. It sure is good to have you back, Dr. Hampton.
Huh? What did he call you?
Why, he called me by my name, Dr. Hampton.
Dr. Cordell Hampton?
That's right, Professor Farwell. Good night. Yes?
I'd like to speak to Dr. Hampton, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Hampton's in conference. If you'd like to leave a message, I'm her secretary.
Just tell her that Professor Farwell called.
Oh, Professor Farwell, I thought I recognized your voice. I'll tell Dr. Hampton that you called again.
Well,
Professor Farwell.
Yes?
The flowers were just lovely. Hello?
Well, now, hello. You're a hard person to reach, Dr. Hampton.
Oh, Professor Farwell.
Say, I've got a couple of theater tickets, and I thought that...
Oh,
maybe...
I'm sorry. I've seen most everything in town.
Well, what haven't you seen?
I'm afraid I have a lecture that evening, Professor Farwell, and...
But I didn't mention any special evening.
Will you excuse me a moment, please? Someone's knocking at my door.
Okay.
Come in.
Dr. Hampton, this is Everett and her little boy is here.
I'll be with him in a second, Mary. I'm sorry, Professor Farwell, but I have an appointment right now.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes, is that okay?
All right, tomorrow. Mary?
Yes, Dr. Hampton.
Didn't we have the latest copy of the National Teacher around here someplace?
Yes, it's right over here. Do you want it?
Yes, please. Thank you. Now, let me see.
Is it something special?
Yes, very special. Professor Farwell has written an article refuting my theories about the only child.
He has?
Yes. Oh, here it is.
Let me see.
Superstitions regarding the only child.
By Eugene Farwell, Ph.D.
Why, that... Mary, he calls my theories superstitions.
Well, gee,
Mary, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but believe me, I'm going to put Professor Farwell in his place if it's the last thing I ever do.
Curtain falls on the first act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nana Sargent. And now, John Weigel. As the vacation season draws to a close, there will be many relaxations and pleasures we will be forced to give up. But one little treat that you can always enjoy, summer or winter, is the taste treat of a Snickers candy bar. With each bite of a Snickers bar, your teeth sink through the thick milk chocolate coating. The golden layer of smooth, creamy caramel, packed with crisp, freshly roasted peanuts, and the soft, snow-white nougat center, richly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. All melt together in each enjoyable mouthful to give you that rare taste blend you will find only in a Snickers bar. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers. Here's the call for the second act of A Peach for the Professor, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. When Professor Jean Farwell met Dr. Cordell Hampton accidentally, he discovered that the good-looking young psychologist was the author of an article he had criticized rather severely, under the impression that it was written by someone else. Well, now, a few days later, Dr. Hampton has just finished a lecture. She chats with Dr. Kurt Hugo, another psychologist, who is also a friend of Professor Farwell.
Ah, Cordell, you were splendid, splendid.
Thank you very much, Kurt.
That was a great lecture, Cordell. Dr. Hampton.
Well, thank you.
Well, now, I did not know that you two knew each other.
Oh, yes, we met.
Well, I have my car here, Cordell. Perhaps you will allow me the pleasure of seeing you home, yes?
Say, I was going to ask the same question. I have my car here, too.
Well,
Thank you very much, both of you.
Ah, but you must decide.
Well, it's really quite simple. I have my own car here.
I should have known. You American women are so wonderfully independent.
They certainly are, Kurt. Oh, for the days of the clinging vine.
Well, Dr. Hampton, how was your lecture last night?
Oh, it was all right, Mary, I guess.
Were Dr. Hugo and Professor Farwell there?
Yes. Why do you ask?
Because they both phoned after you left the office yesterday afternoon.
Oh, I see.
Gee, Dr. Hugo has the most wonderful voice.
Oh, Mary, you're an incurable romantic.
Well, maybe. Professor Farwell sounds awfully nice, too.
He's awfully maddening, if that's what you mean.
Maddening? After all those flowers he sent?
I don't think he'll be sending any more flowers.
He won't? Oh, gee, I'll miss him.
Well, I won't. I don't enjoy such antagonism.
Oh, say, you know, I was reading an article in one of those magazines around here, something about antagonisms and attractions.
Please, dear, I'm tired and I still have some work to do.
Oh, sure, Dr. Hampton. If you want me for anything, just buzz.
I'll do that. No. Where did she read that? Let me see. Oh, there it is. Attractions and how they grow out of antagonism. Why, I know it's true, but I just don't believe it.
Oh, pardon me, Dr. Hampton.
Oh, more flowers?
Yes, they're from Dr. Hugo.
Oh, well, find a vase.
Mr. Blackwell also called.
The editor of the Psychological Journal?
Yes, he wants to know about your article.
Well, it isn't ready.
I told him that.
Well, what did he say?
He said he'd already waited 2 days past his deadline.
Oh, deadline, deadline. That's all anybody thinks about. Mary, call Mr. Blackwell and tell him that I'll try to have it ready this afternoon.
Dr. Hampton, a man just called from the radio station.
Here's the article, Mary. I've read it over.
Oh, good.
What was that you said about the radio station?
Mr. Trotter called to find out whether you'd like to take part in a panel discussion Sunday.
What's it about?
Oh, something about cooperation between teachers and psychologists.
Dear me, how fascinating. Just like John's other wife.
Well, not exactly.
Did he say who else would be on the program?
Oh, yes, some dean from the university, you, and he thought you might be able to suggest somebody else, some teacher, perhaps.
Oh, a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll think it over and call Mr. Trotter.
You know, I'll bet Professor Farwell would be wonderful on the radio.
Well, I'll consider him if Amos and Andy aren't available.
Oh, Dr. Hampton, now you're joking.
Don't be too sure, Mary.
Well, here's the phone number of the radio station.
Oh, fine.
And I'll get this off to the Psychological Journal right away.
Thanks. Oh, dear, the radio. If I were two people, I suppose I... Oh, well, I may as well call.
Good afternoon, station WXXX.
Mrs. Trotter, please.
Thank you. Just a moment, please.
Trotter speaking.
Mr. Trotter, this is Dr. Cordell Hampton speaking.
Oh, Dr. Hampton, you got my message?
Yes, and I think I can arrange to be on the broadcast.
Fine.
But my secretary said something about a third person for the discussion.
Yes, we want your suggestions on some outstanding member of the teaching profession who can participate.
Do you know of Professor Eugene Farwell?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, Dean Anderson suggested Farwell. But he's going out of town Sunday.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, has a conference of some sort. Teachers, I suppose.
Then we'll have to think of someone else. Have you heard of Dr. Kurt Hugo?
Well, now, it seems to me his name was mentioned.
Well, he's a very fine teacher, Mr. Trotter. I suggest you call him to complete the panel. Well, Kurt, how did you like being on the radio?
Cordell, it was a very novel experience. But I much prefer dancing with you like this.
Well, that's very nice of you.
It is like dancing on the stars.
Oh, come now. If you're trying to raise my spirits, I'm afraid they don't feel like being raised.
Even if they should be?
I guess that's it.
My dear, you're a very tantalizing combination. You're a lovely, poised woman and a spoiled little girl.
That's hardly a compliment.
But do not misunderstand. Cordell, they work you too hard at the Institute, seeing spoiled and pampered children day in and day out.
Most of the children I see, Kurt, are just the opposite.
But all quite mixed up, just the same.
Well, aren't most adults quite mixed up, too, nowadays?
Yes, I suppose so. Cordell, I think you are the loveliest, the most unusual woman I've ever known.
Kirsty, the music stopped.
But it will begin again in a moment.
Do you mind if we leave now? I'm very tired, and I have so much to do tomorrow.
Of course not. But, Cordell.
Yes, Kurt?
You are very much in need of a vacation.
Oh, I suppose so.
But you must have some rest. Promise me you'll give the matter some thought.
Then you've really decided on Sea Harbor for your vacation, Dr. Hampton.
Yes, Mary, I'm going to spend all 7 days just lying in the sun.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, just think, dropping everything and resting this old aching brain in the sun.
Yeah, well, how about resting your young, tired body in the sun, too, and getting a beautiful tan?
Oh, that reminds me, I must get a new bathing suit.
Say, you'd look wonderful in a white bathing suit.
Well, I think something a little more subdued is more my speed.
Oh, but a white suit will attract so much more attention.
Mary, I'm going to Sea Harbor for a rest.
Oh, sure, but a woman finds things much more restful when she's looking her best in a white bathing suit. That is, on the beach.
Oh, really, Mary?
And besides, you'll probably see Professor Farwell at Sea Harbor.
See Professor Farwell?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but it's more than a week since he's called. He's away at some conference.
You mean you didn't know that his conference was at Sea Harbor?
Well, of course I didn't know it. If I had...
Oh, dear. I forgot to tell you. Dr. Foster called.
Dr. Foster? You mean you forgot to tell me that the head of the Institute called?
Well, you were out, but when he heard you were going to Sea Harbor...
Yes?
He said he wanted you to look up a friend of his.
Oh, dear. Who is his friend, Mary?
Professor Farwell.
I might have known. Professor Farwell seems to have more friends than a dog has fleas.
Dr. Foster also said that Professor Farwell might... Well, he might provide you with some lighter moments.
He said that?
Practically word for word.
Oh, well, if anybody but my boss had asked me to,
I... Dr. Hampton, would you like me to call the shops about that white bathing suit?
No, thank you, Mary. I'll shop for it myself. And it won't be white.
Before we bring you the third act of tonight's Curtain Time play, starring Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent, here is John Weigel.
During these hot days, there are some of our favorite little treats that we do not always enjoy. But no matter how hot it may be, there is always delightful enjoyment and satisfaction in the taste of a Snickers candy bar that has been chilled in the refrigerator. You begin to enjoy a Snickers bar the moment the cool wrapper first crackles open in your hand. Then, with each bite, you taste the crisp, cold milk chocolate coating, the smooth layer of creamy golden caramel packed with whole, freshly roasted peanuts, and the cool, snow-white nougat center, richly flavored with fresh peanut butter and real malted milk. Together, the cold milk chocolate, creamy golden caramel, crisp peanuts, and soft nougat make each bite of a Snickers bar a thrilling summer treat, right down to the last delightful flavor that lingers in your mouth. When you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers.
The call for the third act of A Peach for the Professor, brought to you by the makers of Snickers. After making arrangements to spend her vacation at Sea Harbor, Dr. Cordell Hampton found out that Professor Jean Farwell, with whom she's been carrying on a sort of a emotional warfare, is also at the resort. Well, we find them now lying on the beach at Sea Harbor in the sun.
Dr. Hampton,
Yes, Professor Farwell?
At the risk of having you murder me in cold blood.
Oh, but I never murder anyone in cold blood.
Just the same, I think you look very lovely in that white bathing suit. I'm going to say so.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. You look very lovely in that white bathing suit. There, I said it.
That's very sweet of you. It's too bad I didn't bring my ear trumpet with me. I might have heard what you said. How's the conference going?
Oh, all right.
Isn't Sea Harbor rather frivolous for anything so serious as a teacher's conference?
I don't know. Teachers like to relax and have a good time, too.
Yes, from what I've seen, I guess you're right.
You know, there's even a rumor going around that teachers are human.
You don't say.
Well,
in fact, when I entered the hotel to register last night, there was one girl in that bevy surrounding you who really looked like... Well, I don't know what to call her except a siren.
Oh, I must have missed her. What did she look like?
Oh, come, you couldn't have missed her. Not with that backless evening gown and that beautiful tan.
Oh, now I know.
I thought you'd remember.
Yes, she does have a nice tan.
What has she been doing, lying on the beach all day since the conference began?
Hardly. We put in a pretty strenuous day.
Well, she looks as though she's never done a day's work. What does she teach?
I don't remember, but I'll ask her if you want to know.
Oh, don't bother. It was just that, well, from the way you were laughing together, I thought you knew her rather well.
Which makes you guilty of making snap judgments yourself, Dr. Hampton. Oh, but say, here she comes now.
So I see. She's probably looking for teacher.
Well, she changed her mind and went into the hotel instead.
Oh, that's too bad.
And, hey, it's almost 2:30 and I've got to give a lecture at 3. Are you coming in?
I think I'll just stay here for a while.
Well, don't stay in the hot sun too long.
I won't.
And maybe we can get together for dinner, Dr. Hampton.
Maybe.
I'll call your room.
Dr. Hampton. I'll bet he called that suntan creature by her first name.
Hello, Dr. Hampton?
Yes?
This is Jean Farwell calling.
Oh, hello, Professor Farwell.
I sort of expected to see you at dinner.
I've been resting.
Oh, I'm sorry I disturbed you.
Oh, that's all right.
But I called because there's going to be a dance tonight on the veranda.
I won't be there.
Oh? Well, I just thought...
You could spend the whole evening with your tan beauty.
Who, Frances?
So you did find out her name.
Why, yes, I...
I'm sure her suntan will look lovely in the moonlight.
Well, sure, I suppose so. But I'm sure you'll look as lovely.
Maybe that's what you think.
Well, gee, I...
I didn't take your advice about not staying in the sun too long, Professor Farwell. And right this moment, I look like a boiled lobster.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad.
And what's more, I'm not coming down to let anyone see me either.
Oh, it's nice. Out on the water in a canoe at night.
Don't forget the full moon.
I wish I could.
Don't you like the moon?
As long as I look like a lobster, I don't like even the tiniest ray of light.
Well, you would stay out in the sun for 3 hours your first day.
You don't have to rub it in.
Well, I don't mean to. You see, that's the kind of thing one would expect from a spoiled only child like me.
It is not. I was tired and I fell asleep and... The fact that I got sunburned was purely, well, accidental.
Still dangerous, Cordell. Might have been serious.
Well, if you think it isn't, who?
I see what you mean. But you'll be your old self in a day or two.
And just what do you mean by that?
Oh, you'll be telling me that I'm acting like an only child or something.
Oh, Gene, please.
Well, I guess you were right about some of the things you said. You see, if I'd known you before I wrote that article, well, I probably wouldn't have written it.
But that would have been a shame. It was an excellent article.
Then you read it?
Certainly. It's my business to keep up with, with all points of view and...
Well, I was pretty sore about your first article. I guess I took it too personally.
But we have to take things personally.
But I went overboard.
I don't think so at all.
Well, that's sweet of you, Cordell, but I've done a lot of thinking about raising only children, and you're right.
I am?
When I get married, I'd want at least 3 children.
3?
Yeah.
How did you arrive at 3?
Oh, it seems like a good number. Raising an only child is, well,
parents can't give just one child the proper balance.
Now you're generalizing.
No, no, no. Only children tend to become spoiled and self-centered.
Do you really think so?
Sure. But on the other hand, look at you, for instance.
Oh, please don't.
You know what I mean. You give your life to a great unselfish work. You...
Oh? I suppose you haven't done that yourself. But what else about me?
Well, I realize that I did everything wrong when I first met you. It's a wonder you didn't kick me right in the teeth.
I almost did.
You see, that's what I mean. My whole attitude was that of a spoiled brat.
Gene, if you could start over again, what would you do?
I'd do everything differently. Cordell, I'm pretty tired of paddling this canoe.
Would you like to stop for a while?
Yes. There's that old willow tree there on the shore.
We're awfully close to it now.
Yes, I know. There, I'll hop out and pull the canoe up on the bank. Hold on tight. There, that does it. Now, give me your hand.
Oh, I can make it.
Give me your hand anyway.
Oh, all right.
There you are. Say, maybe I'd better pull the canoe up on the bank a bit more. We don't want to be stranded here.
Would it be so bad to be stranded here with me?
No, but you'd probably find it pretty tedious.
Why?
Oh, you'd be in the company of a spoiled only child too long.
I'm hardly the one to find that tedious.
Well, you made your thoughts on the subject quite clear.
That's funny. I've always thought I was a little confused on that question.
Confused? Cordell, you're the most poised, the most intelligent and beautiful.
Darling, I'm the most spoiled only child you ever met.
Folks, on the last pass of another Curtain Time play brought to you by the makers of Snickers. Tonight, Curtain Time starred Harry Elders and Nanette Sargent in A Peach for the Professor by Nancy Mitchell Hopkins. The supporting players were Maurice Copeland, Geraldine Kay, Forrest Lewis, and George Caesar. The Curtain Time Orchestra is conducted by Bert Faber. And the entire production is directed by Harry Holcomb. Next Saturday, Curtain Time will bring you a comedy romance, Page One Wedding. And now, I'll join this gay theater crowd as it leaves the merchandise mart. Many on their way to the glamorous after-theater spots here in Chicago. Until next week, then, this is Patrick Allen reminding you of your date every Saturday, same time, same station, when the makers of Snickers present...
Good Time!
Each week, Mars Incorporated brings you two great shows over NBC. On Monday night, be sure to hear Dr. IQ, the Mental Banker. And next Saturday, be with us again for Curtain Time. Remember, when you want a special taste delight, have a Snickers.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.